It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snaps, it's really refreshing!
Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
This is Danny and Dusty.
Meringue Tang is going to be a thing.
You're not coining anything new.
With Danny Meringue and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
All frozen with monkey sounds in there called go.
The old like Danny Meringue pie.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
Yeah, this is going to be awesome.
The Fan.
Good afternoon. Hey, welcome in. Happy Tuesday, everybody. How we all doing?
I mean, everybody's back now.
Yeah, we're all back. Let's go. There we go. Yeah, Rust, you were out yesterday too?
I was.
All right.
Yeah, I had a wife and a daughter that were up all night.
Oh, man.
Good times.
Man. Yeah, I went, I was gone yesterday. I never do these things. This is the first field trip I've ever been on. Was yesterday.
Drew the short straw.
No. I actually had a great time.
Oh, did you?
I had a great time.
You, when we talked last week, you said you didn't know where you were going. Where'd you end up going?
We went... I showed up to the school and didn't know where I was
going. Yeah, attaboy.
If I'm being quite honest here, I signed up and forgot and then just didn't even look at an email, didn't even care. And then in the morning, I was like, hey, where are you going on your field trip? And my daughter goes, I think to go do some gardening. And I was like, wait a minute. Not quite sure how this is going to go for me. And so I showed up, and it was actually pretty cool. Pretty cool. The local high school, they have an ag department.
Okay.
And they have like an entire farm where like that's where their shop is, and that's where they have like this ag department.
The rural areas still have those.
So they do things like they build sheds and outposts. They're like,
they still have 4-H out there.
Oh yeah. Believe me, I got the pitch on Future Farmers of America yesterday, and I felt like it was directed at me. The guy who was talking about it was looking at me the whole time, and I was like, you should probably look at these guys. Like I'm
set on my
dude
path.
I'm like a former farmer of America at this point, dude. But they do.
Washed Farmers of America.
I was like, you missed me. that ship has sailed, my man. But they had like all these little things. Like, I don't know. There was a gardening part of it. They did a bunch of ag stuff and FFA stuff. Learned about worm farms.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Tilling the soil.
Yeah. Like they have worm farms. They use the worm poop Mm-hmm. Basically, hyper fertilizer.
It's like nitrates.
It was great.
Yeah.
It was educational for me, too.
I got worms.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Way to go, Harry. So, first field trip in the books. I didn't lose anybody. That was my big thing.
Mm.
You know, you got a bunch, you're in charge of a group of children.
Yeah. They can wander off.
Now, I don't know who they are.
And they,
you know,
they frown upon shot callers, right?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
They do. Also, swearing. Mm. Didn't do any of that.
Ooh.
So, good. I felt like I was a good parent yesterday. So,
to all of the children.
I got that going for me, which is nice.
There you go.
Yeah. Other parents, you're welcome. Got your kids home.
No little demons you had to deal with?
No. No, I think... my daughter's teacher, she knew what she was working with here. Mm. She did not give me a hard group of children.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it was, she knew that I had no idea where I was going, probably. Which, she was right.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
She looked at you and went, not a chance.
No.
Mm-mm. Can't give him little Tommy.
Mm-mm. So, that's where I was yesterday. Rust, my day was far better than yours.
Yeah, sounds like it.
House full of sick.
Yeah, thank you.
Nope.
Well, yeah, when you got a wife and daughter up all night doing that, that means the entire house is up all night.
So Chip Kelly's return to Autzen Stadium when he was the coach at UCLA,
mm-hmm.
I was working that game for the fan. We hosted the pregame show. I'm standing down on the field right next to dirt, and I got a text message from my wife that said, "You need to come home. We all have the flu." There is nothing worse than when your whole family has the flu.
Oh, God.
And they were like, they had two, like, young kids then.
Mm.
And it was, I drove home 2 hours. I walk in the door. I open up the front door. It was the most foul smell. My entire home smelled. Oh. Because everybody
both
was
just,
oh, yeah.
Oh.
It was awful. So, that, Rust, anytime anybody's like sick family, I'm like, no, you can't do that. Nope, stay home. The worst.
We ran out of Emitrol.
Yeah. And guess what? Only person in the house that didn't get a flu shot? This guy.
Don't feel that fire.
Still got it.
Okay.
Oh, I got it. I got it worse than anybody. But it was like 2 days later and I was just sitting there going, this is going to be bad. This is going to be really bad. I know what I'm getting myself into, and it was the worst, man. It was the worst. Sick families.
Yeah, not looking forward to that in the child rearing stages. not looking forward to that.
Ah,
hard pass.
Yeah, man.
Injuries, surgeries. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty resilient with that stuff.
No.
I am the biggest baby on the face of the planet when I'm sick.
No.
Everybody hates it.
I'm a big baby.
Oh, no. When I'm sick, everybody knows. Everybody knows. I want no part of it. No.
Mm-mm. I can't do that. Like, my wife is already, like, tougher than me.
Yeah.
So, when I get sick, I just try to, soldier through, you know? Some would say thug it out.
Yeah.
But when you're sick, nope. I just try to put on a brave face and dying inside.
That's when I let it go.
Yeah.
That's why I just like, nope. Crippling body pain.
Yeah.
Surgeries, stuff like that. Walking through it. Yep. Chew up some painkillers. Call it good. Go through my day. Be miserable. Be fine. Are you okay? Yeah, I'm fine. You know, tears running down my face. Fine. I get the sniffles. Wham! Wham! Wham!
I lay in bed and it's just basically most of the day just, hey, babe, you bring me some ginger ale?
Yeah, can you bring me some food? I'm in a bucket.
Yeah. No, I don't do it. I don't do that. Well, we're all back today.
Mm.
What a day to be back, huh?
Mm.
You guys talked some Oregon spring game yesterday?
We put it on the back burner for the most.
Oh, you did?
For you.
Okay.
Yeah. We mentioned the Ducks getting 10 guys in the draft, which came as a surprise. 10 was more than we even talked about. We talked about getting 8, maybe 9.
No, 9 was the goal.
But yeah.
I mean, we went down that list, and it was like 9 they were going to get, and it was like 10 or 11, but they got 10 on the dot. And then everybody else just kind of, you look at the guys that signed free agent deals. Mm-hmm. They had a ton of guys signing free agent deals, too. I think the final number was up to 17.
Yeah. It's a lot.
17 guys getting a shot in the NFL is pretty damn good. Mm-hmm. Was at the spring game, though, this weekend. Texter saying, I talked to Christian Gonzalez, guest coach, during the broadcast. It was a star-studded event down there. 40,000 people were there.
There you go.
They may have had more. It was only upper corner.
That was empty?
That was the only part that was empty. They had a good showing. We'll talk a little bit about the game. Because I know people want hot takes after a spring game. Mm. It's a spring game. But mission accomplished. Environment was cool. And then we went to the baseball game.
Yes. Good game, too.
Well, for one team.
Yeah.
On Saturday, it was a bludgeoning.
Yes.
Oregon just hit home run after home run. But the coolest part was Bryce Betcher's first pitch. Mm. He went and played in the spring game. Fully padded, shows up to the stadium, throws out the first pitch of the baseball game.
Just walked over?
Just walked straight over, because it was a quick turnaround. Mm-hmm. And I saw him after. I go, hey, you going to the baseball game? He's like, yeah, dude, throwing out the first pitch. I go, you've got a quick turnaround.
Yeah.
He shows up, spatted up. He was still spatted up from the game. Tape on, everything, shoulder pads, throws out the first pitch. It was, that place went bonkers. When he did that,
that's a good feeling for what you're doing.
Yeah, I mean he knew what he was doing there. But it was a cool day Saturday. We'll talk a little bit about the spring game today. We had what a night in the NBA playoffs. You want to talk about a tale of two games? Holy guacamole! That was something that we saw. We saw one team quiet quit, and then saw
might not even quiet.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, in terms of quiet quitting. It was, by definition, a quiet quit by the Miami Heat. Yeah. They showed up to work.
Yeah.
They didn't do anything.
Did nothing.
And everybody looked around and noticed, hey, this guy's not even doing anything. Except for his whole roster of people.
Yeah.
So
got paid, though.
They got paid, which is quiet quitting. Yeah. Like, you're not doing your job, but you're there.
Got your playoff bonus.
That's what I'm talking about. So we got to talk about that. The Cavs move on. And then we had an unbelievable game.
Yes.
In the second one. We got some NFL news. Mm. George Kittle,
yeah.
Get his money. That's about right.
Yeah.
Trey McBride reset the market. George Kittle comes over the top. People's elbow drops it on.
Says thank you.
And so we've got that to discuss. I have questions for you because we saw it in the NFL draft. Now we're seeing it in the NBA draft.
Mm.
The early entrants have been announced.
Yes. There's a couple guys on there that are a bit of a surprise. There are some guys that are returning to college that we got news on today because of the entrance in there that was a little surprising.
Yeah. And we are 13 days away from the lottery happening.
Not this Monday. Not this coming Monday. Monday after that.
Let's go.
It's crazy how, look, the season ends and you're like, oh, the off season's so long. No, it's not.
All right.
It's fast.
All right.
Once May 12th hits, when we know where the Blazers are sitting at in the lottery, then the work begins.
All right. I'm excited. We may have a special guest popping in at the top of the hour as well. As he's in the building, and it depends on when he gets done with his other stuff around here. But we may have a chance to talk with Alex Molden, former Duck, New Orleans Saints, first overall pick. His son, Elijah, just re-signed with the Chargers. He's an author.
Mm.
Like, Alex Molden will make you feel inspired and then go, you sit back and you go, I got some work to do.
Yeah.
I got some work to do. He's great dude. Great dude. But
if he does pop in, I want to pick his brain on writing a book.
I don't think he's ready for that from you.
Yeah.
I don't think he... I don't... I'm wondering if he's ready for the Danny Morang experience.
You gotta roll the dice.
Yeah. 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 This isn't his first rodeo, though. This is his new book.
Yeah.
That is out. So, Alex may be stopping in at the top of the hour, but where we gotta start this bad boy off, Dylan Brooks poked the bear.
Again.
And it's the last bear you want to poke. And it was a butthurt bear.
Mm.
Literally.
Quite literally.
A butthurt bear.
A Jimmy bear.
This is not a good sign for the Houston Rockets. Mm-mm. Danny Dusty on the Fan.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Identity Refreshing!
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on motherhood, wellness, self-love, and more. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
The Golden State Warriors take a commanding 3-1 lead over the Houston Rockets last night with a dub in Golden State. That court was awesome. I like that court. 109-106.
You like that court?
I liked it.
Then again, you're an Oregon guy. You probably like freaking Matthew Knight court.
The new one's better than the old one. I'm not a huge fan of it. I liked that court last night with the bridge. I thought it was cool.
I think it's hideous.
I liked it. Now, if you're asking me what my favorite court of all time is, it's the old Memorial Coliseum with the white keys.
Gorgeous.
And the red circle. Mm-hmm. That's my favorite. I like the simple look, but as far as like the fancy courts that they have for this city edition uniforms, that was one of the better ones. Ugh. Indiana's bad.
Oh God, yes.
Brooklyn bad.
Yes.
Any of
the Hornets ones were dope a couple of years ago with the honeycomb.
The honeycomb, yeah.
The honeycomb court, yeah. Like they,
that was cool.
They brought it back a couple years ago, close to the old throwback Larry Johnson court.
Yeah.
Like that's the one, like the subtle honeycomb is on the outside the paint, inside the 3-point line.
Yeah. I like the bridge though.
Yeah.
I thought it was good last night. Yeah. I like the bridge
though. I hate those jerseys too.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think the whole thing's hideous.
Not the worst of the City Edition uniforms. A lot of those are bad.
Yes.
A lot of them are bad. All right. Let's get to this actual game because, look, there are so many angles. First of all, this series is getting nasty. Actually, it started nasty and it started with physicality because Houston was like, look, if they have the skill, we've got to muck it up, and they've been trying to do that through the entirety of this series. Well, you saw it last night, and boy, oh boy, from Draymond Green getting into it
twice
with just about everything, Tari Eason, Amen Thompson, anybody that really would want to get in his face, you had that. But the one where I think it actually changed the game was at the 220 mark, the cameras zoomed in on Jimmy Butler talking to Dylan Brooks. And I don't know what started this interaction.
I would imagine Dylan Brooks chirping.
Well, Jimmy Butler, I'm no lip reader.
Oh, you can tell exactly.
He called him a bum and a B.
Uh-huh. And he's been busting his ass for years.
Yeah. From that point on, Dylan Brooks did something that he should not have done because Jimmy Butler, from that point on, there was a 220 mark in the second quarter, went 6 of 9 from the field, 10 of 10 from the free throw line because he started getting aggressive and getting to the rim. He scored 23 of his 27 points.
He had 4 points from the first half.
From that moment on, he went absolutely crazy. And it really started, I was like, uh-oh. it was with the foul. A minute later, mm-hmm. Dylan Brooks gets a run out on a fast break, and Jimmy Butler probably should have been called a flagrant, but he mm-hmm. got him on the elbow. Mm-hmm. Fouled him as hard as you possibly could foul him. Mm-hmm. There was all glass, no break.
Also,
gas, no breaks.
The takeaway I have from the Houston Rockets, they're the worst dribbling team in the NBA.
Oh.
Because if you saw that, it was back-to-back plays. Dylan Brooks got the leak out, and it looked like he was dribbling with hockey gloves. Mm. Like, just slapping at the ball. And I'm just like, what? Why are you not pulling away? Like, you could see him struggling to get his gait and dribble at the same time. Like, he couldn't push the ball out and go. It was like, what is happening here? The same thing happened. It was either the next possession, the possession after that. Fred VanVleet. The same thing happened, and he struggles, and he has to try to, like, drop it off and scramble. And it was like, what the hell is happening here? Can no one on this team dribble? And, like, the more I watched, the more I was like, Jalen Green is the only player on this team that can dribble to a spot on the floor.
You know what that is reminiscent of? The Boston Celtics before they turned the corner.
Mm-hmm.
They had nobody that could dribble.
Yeah.
And it was when the two J's were young.
Jaylen Brown can't go left. Jason Tatum's handle, with, you know, he dribbled it up at his shoulders. Like,
and it was that what everybody said, this team is young and talented, mm-hmm. but that is their weakness.
They can't get to their spots.
And lo and behold, they get some ball handlers and they go and they win a title.
And they improve their handling and
yeah.
Jaylen and Jason start driving.
And it's just one of those things where you look at it from. Houston is a great regular season team. They have got all of the makings and the markers of what a really damn good franchise has, the building blocks to compete mm-hmm. for championships in the future. But this is where, when they say winning in the playoffs is a learned, this is it. And you're seeing it right in front of your eyes with where Houston needs to take that next step.
They're losing on the margins. And they missed 12 free throws. They can't get up, like... There's a couple plays down the stretch. One of them that the Brandon Podziemski, who had an incredible game. And here's the thing. Let me preface this. The Rockets had a fantastic game plan. Anyone but Steph.
Mm-hmm.
And it was working until Dylan poked Jimmy. But if Podziemski beats you, Podziemski beats you. You just tip your hat and you go, hey, well, he did it.
If their game plan is to take Steph away, eliminate Draymond Green between the ears, mm-hmm. they did that flawlessly.
Yeah.
And I thought Steve Kerr answered the question perfectly after the game. He was asked, you know, have you guys figured some things out? And he goes, no, we haven't figured anything out.
No, because they're winning on the margins. And that's literally what it comes down to.
He said, you know, for I think most teams, you'll look at 37% from three and you'll be like, but they were like, well, no, because we were minus 10 in 3-point percentage. Mm-hmm. To the team that we were, the team that we were playing, you know, the Rockets shoot 47% from three, and the Warriors shoot 37% from three. Obviously, more volume in Golden State, but they weren't hitting at the clip that they really wanted to be hitting at. Because you look at it and you say, all right, how many are they getting on the other end of the floor? They were more efficient in that regard. So Kerr is like, we're not efficient there. Draymond Green played like a guy that had zero technical fouls when he picked up an early technical foul, which should not have been a tech on Draymond, I don't think. But everybody that says that's a reputation call, 100%. He got it on his reputation. I don't think, I think most of the time, if it was most people, I don't think you're getting a technical foul in the playoffs for that. But he got it nonetheless, and then still continued to play like a moron.
I mean, what he did with Tari Eason, number one, he tripped him. Number two, he kicked him. Number three, he kept his legs there and then grabbed his jersey after Tari rightfully was like, I'm going to knock the taste out of your mouth. Like, this is...
And that was the flagrant foul.
Yes.
That and was after his technical.
Number one, it should not be allowed to be a flagrant foul. The ball is dead.
Yeah.
You can't have a flagrant foul when the ball is dead. I can't wait to see how the league excuses this.
Well,
because it's 100% a technical foul and Draymond should have been gone out of the game.
They were slick in the way that they described it, because mm-hmm. the official who mic'd up with, come on, mic technology, we can have better microphones yeah. with these guys. But they said during the live ball action is when he did the tripping, which was flagrant, and everything else, I think they said was incidental after that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, when
nobody bought it, but all that is saying is that, yeah, we screwed up on the first technical foul. We don't want to run Draymond Green.
I think that the first one was a tech though too. Like it was a cheap shot that he threw.
Yeah.
Number one on the screen.
I think it's a playoff.
I mean that's why I'll say it right now. I don't like Dylan Brooks, and I think he's destructive to teams. I think in the long run, Dylan Brooks is a detriment to your team. He proved it with the Grizzlies, and he's proving it with the Rockets. I love the idea of Dylan Brooks. Draymond Green is dirty. Dylan Brooks is dirty. There's no doubt about it. But over the lifespan of their careers, Draymond's antics lead to wins. Dylan Brooks, those lead to losses.
Yeah.
Time after time after time.
But they also went 52-30 in the regular season this year.
I know.
And when you when you have the amount of talent that Draymond Green has been surrounded with, I mean, it is not
and he's
necessarily
hurt them.
Him leading. Yeah, he hurt them in the NBA finals.
You're only wrong. But I'm talking
and they
about.
They lost a championship because of him.
Yep.
I mean,
no doubt about it.
Dylan Brooks can do the same thing. And he can be as just a valuable of a piece to a championship team as Draymond Green was because of that, but he doesn't have the talent that Draymond has around him. And that's the big thing is like, if Draymond Green was on Memphis or Draymond Green was on Houston, we'd all be saying the same things about Draymond as we do Dylan Brooks because it can be a detriment to the team because you're just not as talented everywhere else. Dylan Brooks is not playing with Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Kevin Durant.
No, you're right. But I don't think that they're anywhere close to the same level of player.
No.
I think Draymond is leagues ahead of Dylan Brooks in basically every capacity.
They're both really good on defense.
They are. Draymond's a generational defender. Dylan's a very good defender. I think there's a very real line. But Brooks firing up Jimmy, which Jimmy flat out said in the postgame, yeah, I really appreciate somebody firing me up.
Don't poke that bear.
And she, who asked you? You got mics. You can see. You can go back and see. And look, Jimmy and Dame are very much the same on a basketball court. Jimmy will chirp a little bit. Dame will chirp a little bit. But they don't do it first. But it's the second you rile them up, have fun.
Yep.
Because they're going to go at you. Because they're both under-recruited, you know, 2- and 3-star guys that were just, everything they've done is they're self-made. And if you're going to put that wood on the fire, have fun with it.
Yeah.
But down the stretch, these games have all come down to the margins. And the Rockets, that testing Draymond Green of all players on a 15-foot post-up. What the hell are you doing, Ime?
Well, who else were you going to go to in that moment? Şengün was awesome. They took away Fred VanVleet.
Get him deeper.
Yeah, but it looked like Şengün panicked too.
Two possessions before that, Fred VanVleet.
Yeah.
Dribbling around for 20 seconds and then just hucking up a floater that gets blocked by Pods.
And I think the idea is there with Ime. It's the execution by his guys, right? I mean, I'm not going to say, what are you doing, Ime? Because that was a panic move by Şengün, who had otherwise a superstar-worthy performance. Yeah.
And a hell of a rebound by Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
The other thing that came out of this game, Ime blinked with Steven Adams. And I wish he wouldn't have done it. In the fourth quarter, with about, was it five and a half to go, they go to Haka Adams. Steven Adams is a 53% free throw shooter on his career. Keep him on the floor. If you're getting one free throw, you're basically better than 1 point per possession, basically. That's better than your average offense in the playoffs for you right now. Getting 1 point of possession. And you can put the Warriors in the bonus.
Yeah, it was just so hard because Steven Adams...
They didn't even test it.
But Steven Adams was laboring. Every time he hit the floor, he was slow to get up.
He was like, so he good. Looked,
he was, but it looked like he was on his last leg.
Or run it.
Every single time he was getting up off the floor, it was like, oh boy. Oh boy, that's one of those damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Steven Adams,
I agree.
Plus 16.
Yep.
And I don't like single game plus minus generally, but like the impact he had.
Their double bigs went, that was a huge,
they couldn't
huge
do
factor.
Anything with them.
Yeah. Huge factor.
Offensively or defensively. They couldn't get to the rim when Steven Adams looked like OKC Steven Adams.
That block, two-handed block.
Oh,
looked
God.
Like a volleyball player.
And then he came over from the other side, two possessions later, sends another one, and you're just like, Yeah, I don't know, man. Maybe stick with this.
Boy, I would love
your offense sucks anyways.
I'd love to get the truth serum from Adams, and he'll be honest about, mate, just didn't have it.
Yeah.
You know, like it'll be interesting to see kind of the unpacking of all that.
But now it goes 3-1 instead of 2-2, all because you lost in the margins.
Yep, and on the other side of it, the Cavaliers are into the conference semifinals because the Miami Heat quite quit. We'll talk about that after Rust with SportsCenter.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Identity Refreshing!
When the stakes rise and the lights get bright, that's when you find out who can really swim. Deep Waters is a new UFC podcast from CBS Sports. Every Monday, myself, Dean Thomas, alongside with legends of the sport, Chris Weidman, Jorge Masvidal, and Dustin Poirier, bring you inside the octagon like no one else can. Deep Waters, new episodes every Monday. Watch on YouTube or listen on Apple, Spotify, and everywhere else you get podcasts.
Miami Heat quite quit on Eric Spoelstra, Pat Riley, and the Miami Heat. Cavs thumped Miami 138-83. And what's crazy about that is that's not really indicative of how bad that game was.
No, I mean, it was over immediately.
Yeah.
It was over.
Sweepsies.
Jared Allen gets a deflection steal, just jump in the gap, runs out and dunks. And I was like, oh, Cleveland wants to take care of this thing in a hurry. It got up to 70-25 at one point in time in the first half.
It was 30-8. 30-8.
I mean, it was over. The only way the Heat were scoring in that first quarter was when they got in semi-transition and there was a little bit of a conflict with the Cleveland defense and one of the Heat players back cut.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the only way they scored. Donovan Mitchell came out, and the way he was hitting threes, it reminded me of Dame. Like the way he was just walking into threes with the confidence that he plays. It was,
Me, 35-8. It got up to 35-8 with 2:14 to go in the first quarter.
35 points before another team scores 10.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
I mean, again, it was 70-25.
Yeah. I think my son summed it up best. Davion Mitchell at the end of the first quarter. Do you see what he did? Hit the 39-footer. And he goes, oh my gosh, he hit a buzzer beater to get your butt kicked after first quarter. And it was, I was like, yeah, you're right, buddy.
I mean,
like,
that's exactly.
It was 43-17 after one. They hit a buzzer beater three-pointer to make it 43-17. It looked like a team that did not want to be out there. It looked like a coach that wanted to murder his entire roster.
Mm-hmm.
And
Davion, like, half celebrated, and Spo basically, like, snapped at him, like, get over here.
Yeah. What are you celebrating? Don't be happy about anything right now. We're getting more than doubled up.
You're getting annihilated. This was this is the note that came out of this series. Cleveland won this series by 122 combined points. It's the most lopsided series in NBA playoff history.
122 points?
Across four games.
Mind you, there was a game, remember the very first game of the playoffs for the Oklahoma City Thunder?
51-point win.
They won by 51! And they're how much could they win by? Because obviously Memphis won a game, which skews this quite tremendously. But I mean, there was a 51-point defeat of an 8 seed already in this.
This was 55.
Playoffs. Yeah, and this was 55. Yeah. So you've had what do you got? 51 and 19. Then you had,
it was 70 through the first two. How much did Memphis win by?
And then no, Memphis didn't win. They got swept.
That's right.
I'm my bad on that. And then they had a 6-point win,
so 76,
and a 2-point win,
so 78.
Yeah, and that was a throttling, and it was only 78.
Yeah, they almost doubled that.
Crazy to think of how lopsided this entire series was, and now you have Miami is. They gonna blow this thing up now? Like, can they blow it up? How do you blow it up?
I don't know, man. Because look, I want to give Tyler Herro some credit. He had an incredible regular season. He was god awful in the playoffs. He was 1 of 10 last night. Bam. We talked about this when the Defensive Player of the Year stuff came out. Tumani Kamara had more Defensive Player of the Year votes than Bam did.
Yeah.
Like, where do you go from here? Like, the Giannis stuff is making a bunch of noise, and Miami media is like, well, they could go after Giannis. And I'm like, with what?
Ooh.
With what?
Hey, I got betting odds on Giannis.
Mm.
You want to know where Miami is?
Yeah.
They're, excuse me, sixth.
Yeah.
Sixth best odds to land Giannis.
Yeah, they don't have, look.
Right in front of the Portland Trailblazers, who have the seventh best odds. So if you want to know
how
realistic it is, the Blazers are 12-1. Miami's 10-1.
And you know why the Blazers are that close? Because they control some of Milwaukee's picks. If Giannis gets moved, don't be surprised if one of two teams don't get involved. Portland and New Orleans. Why? Because they hold the keys to Milwaukee's draft future.
Just don't give them the 2031 pick. Actually, you know what? It may behoove the Blazers to just be like, no. And just watch them suffer for six more years until they get that pick.
I mean, it's going to be really interesting. And here's the thing.
Because the Blazers could pick swap with a team that's rebuilding.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, then you don't have to worry about tanking anymore because they can do it for you without Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Well, what those teams do is like what you saw Phoenix do this year, which is like the Rockets own our pick. We can't bottom out. We can't give them a better asset. Well, and that's why they tried for the
guess
player.
Guess what? If Giannis ain't there, they're bottoming out. Because think of this. Lillard just ruptured his Achilles,
Dame's
and I feel awful for Damian Lillard. Brooke Lopez not getting any
37
younger.
Years old.
Okay.
Remember, he was this close to being used to Rocket, too.
And then you have Giannis no longer going to be with the franchise, because if he asks out, they're not going to be like, you know what? No, we're going to keep you. If player wants out, he's going to get out. So you're looking at your future is going to be with Jericho Sims, Bobby Portis, Kyle Kuzma, Gary Trent Jr., Kevin Porter Jr.
They have almost no money committed outside of Kyle Kuzma.
Torian Prince.
Yeah, Kuzma's got 2 years, 40, I think, left. I think he's like 20 a year.
And without Giannis and with Dame out for a year, guess what free agent's going to go to Milwaukee?
Well, I mean, they don't go there anyways.
None.
It's going to be really interesting. Like, I don't want to belabor the Giannis trade stuff too much until it actually happens. But I, at this point in time, I said it yesterday, I'd be stunned if Giannis doesn't ask out. Like, it's normally for any trade, I'm like less than 5%. I'm at 80% with Giannis asking out at this point. And we've talked about this for a couple of weeks now. He wants to stay in the East, but do you think Milwaukee's going to want him in conference?
No. No, the betting odds, they have Brooklyn number one.
Brooklyn's where he wants to go.
3-1. And by the way, when you get betting odds on a player's next team, usually not the best sign that he's going to be sticking around. Houston, 4-1.
Houston is my number one.
Oklahoma City, 5-1, because if they don't have any draft assets, guess who has all the draft picks? Mm-hmm. OKC. And they can just say.
And you're asking for all Giannis? Of the picks, all the picks, and Chet and something.
Yeah. And you get Giannis. Mm-hmm. So they are 5-1. Then the Orlando Magic at 7-1.
It would be Franz Black picks. Which I Paolo and Giannis just sounds like a beat fun, but also god awful.
Well, no, no, hold on now 1 minute. Mm. You said if the Blazers could get in on that deal, if they could get in on that deal, because if Oklahoma City gives them all the picks, then that may kind of shove the Blazers out of a three-team deal. But
if Orlando gets in there,
if Orlando gets in there and they're going to give up one of those two bigs.
Mm-hmm. Franz is a perfect fit.
Okay. Okay. And then
if you're Portland, then you're tossing in Shaden the necessary salary, which would probably be, I'd imagine it'd be Shaden Jeremy
or Shaden. And you DA. Get Franz and they get their pick swaps back, but not 2031.
Yeah. You give them the, you give them their swaps, Shaden and DA or Shaden and Jeremy to Milwaukee.
And you get
Franz.
Franz. I like that. I'm not opposed to that. Yeah. I'm listening.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then you have Golden State at 8-1, which I'm not quite sure.
They have nothing to give up.
What they can offer, especially on the contract side.
Yeah. I mean, well, I mean.
And I don't know. I mean, you'd have to give up Jimmy.
Or Draymond.
Just Scott.
Yeah.
And I don't think Milwaukee wants to go down the road of, you know, we'll give you Giannis.
Yeah.
Give us Draymond Green, though.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
Yeah. No,
and
I don't think they're doing that.
And Moody.
Yeah, I'm not picking up what they're putting down. And then that's when you get into Miami and Portland territory.
Yeah.
Interesting. I hate this, but I feel like I have to read it just because. Lakers have 33-1 odds to land Giannis. They just couldn't do it. I mean, unless they get rid of LeBron and they say Luka and Giannis. And I, you know what would make me the most angry person if that trade were to happen?
Oh, God.
If LeBron's like, yeah, I'm out, and they're like, all right, find a way to get Giannis, I quit.
Yeah.
I quit.
You'd have the best rim runner in modern NBA history playing with the best lob passer maybe ever.
And they are middle of the pack. They're at 33-1. Yeah. At the very bottom, the Sacramento Kings, Phoenix Suns, 76ers, and Timberwolves, all 66-1 odds. None of them are in the running for Giannis.
I think your number one teams... Number one, Houston. Number two, Oklahoma City. Number three, a combination of the Knicks and Nets. And then the Magic.
Okay.
I don't think Milwaukee's going to trade him in conference. They're not going to want to see him three or four times a year.
I wouldn't want to.
I mean, and here's the other thing that came with this. John Horst, the general manager, just got his deal. We really haven't talked about this, but when it happened, I was like, oh, that's a big deal. That's a big, big deal because that gives him the power. You're not afraid of, if you're the Bucks and you know this potential is coming, you go, oh yeah, we need to have somebody in here who has the power and has, you know, the contract to make this dirty. Because I'm telling you right now, no matter how great the relationship is, it's going to get messy.
Mm-hmm.
We saw this. We saw this in Portland. It's going to get messy. And Giannis is going to want what he wants. But as a small market in Milwaukee, they're not going to send him to Siberia.
They're going to do what Portland did to Dame.
They're going to, and that's why I think it's OKC or Houston.
Yeah, it may not be as number one because the number one team often in these situations screws up these deals because they lowball Miami
and they don't have the assets.
And they don't have the assets, even though Brooklyn has assets. They got picks too,
kind of.
Yeah, I'm with you. OKC would be. Another one I'd slam
think,
my head against.
I don't
the
think
door.
they'd send him to OKC though because of what it would do.
Like you just give him a championship.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Not only that, from what I've been able to gather on the intel side, Giannis wants to go to a big city and a big market.
Well, Oklahoma City is
definitely not.
Oh no,
and neither is Orlando.
Yeah, but he's got Disney World,
New York, and Houston.
All right. New York and Houston.
Those are the two that I'm watching in that regard.
Okay. Hey, we got some news today on the Beavs and the Cougs and where they are going to be landing. What a treat this actually is that they already have, Oregon State's already got 8 of their kickoff times announced for this fall.
Nice.
Where can you find them? Next on The Fan. Got an announcement today on the Pac-12 and the television network schedule for both Oregon and Oregon State this year. And I love this for the Beavs and the Cougs, because we know kick times for all of their home games this year already. You know where you're going to be able to find these games with plenty of notice, and all of them are wildly accessible. 9 games.
That's always better.
Between the 9 games between the Beavs and the Cougs are going to be on the CW this year. 2 are going to be on ESPN, both of them Oregon State games, and 2 will be on CBS. And both of those games will be Washington State games, but Oregon State will be a part of one of them. So here's how it's going to sort out for Oregon State and Washington State. For the Beavs, the September 6th game against Fresno State, the October 11th game against Wake Forest, the October 18th game against Lafayette, and the November 8th game against Sam Houston are all going to be on the CW. For Washington State, their August 30th game against Idaho, September 6th against San Diego State, October 25th against Toledo, and November 15th against Louisiana Tech are going to be on, CW.
CW, yep.
And then you got, then the November 29th game against Oregon State on the CW. The 2 games for ESPN, Beavs taking on Cal in the season opener on August 30th, and the September 26th game against Houston.
That'll be a fun one.
Those are 2 great games that are going to be on ESPN for Oregon State. And then the 2 CBS games are Oregon State, Washington State on the 1st of November, and the Washington State UW game on September 20th. I like the fact that you have basically your home base for where the home games are all going to be, mm-hmm. and it's going to be on CW, ESPN, and CBS. Like, accessible.
All readily available.
And then if you look at where road games are going to be, they're going to be on, you look at the UW Washington State game, that's a CBS game. Mm-hmm. That is where Big Ten games are played. You know exactly where you're going if you're a Washington fan for that game as well. So for Oregon State, you're thinking, all right, where is like the Oregon game going to be? Because you go on the road, mm-hmm. it's going to be in Autzen, it's going to be with the Big Ten partner. You're also looking at CBS or, in all likelihood, that might be like an NBC game, mm-hmm. probably. You're going to be able to watch every single one of these damn games for both of these teams, and they're going to be accessible. And you already know 8 for Oregon State and 6 for Washington State, what time those games are going to start at.
Yeah, you get some Pac-12 after dark.
A lot of Pac-12 after dark. Yes. So we know of 14 games already. 7 of them are going to be 7 o'clock or later.
Mm-hmm.
For Oregon State, Cal, Houston, Lafayette, Sam Houston, those are all 7 or 7:30 games.
And let's be honest, Pullman and Corvallis for Pac-12 after dark, there's almost nowhere where it ever got weirder than those 2 places. Yeah.
And then for Washington State, 7 or 7:15, you got 3 games, Idaho, San Diego State, Louisiana Tech. Now, I will go to bat for a big game for Oregon State this year, that Houston game on the 26th.
Mm-hmm.
That is going to be a 9:30 Central Time start for Houston, because it's a 7:30 kick in Corvallis. These are the times where Pac-12 After Dark works in your favor, mm-hmm. and you should be damn happy that it works that way. Like, when you bring East Coast teams over and you have to play them late, perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go.
And that's why it gets weird.
Yeah, that game has a tendency
Houston,
to get
Washington State,
very weird.
That game's going to get weird.
I'm here for it. But for the Pac-12, this is a really difficult stretch for the Pac-12 for scheduling, television, availability, doing right by your fan bases. I think in this time, I don't know if the Pac-12 could handle it any better. Because right now with these 2 teams that everybody's saying not marketable, you are on 3 very damn good networks right now for Oregon State and Washington State, both
stable.
And everybody, is it the money that everybody else is getting? No, it's not. But for the fans right now, you have the ability to see every single game. Mm-hmm. And we could not say that when the Pac-12 was even around.
Yeah. So there's at least a mild improvement. You're still able to hold on and
yeah,
hopefully do something.
And then, look, they are protecting the rivalry between Oregon State and Washington State that they want to build up.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to play twice this year. The first game at Washington State, which will be on CBS, that is going to be a 3:30 kick.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. And then it'll either be the second one, which is going to be at Oregon State. It's either going to be at 4 or 5 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for that one, giddy up, Buttercup, let's have that game is a primetime game. You're going to have a lot of eyes that are going to be able to watch you. And that one is the one November 1st at Oregon State.
Mm-hmm.
CBS, primetime game. What more can you ask for?
No, I mean,
I like that.
It's a good place to be.
Yep. Yep. So sign me up for this.
Right now, the Pac-12 has more broadcast partners than member institutions.
You're not wrong.
Yeah.
You're not wrong. And if you're wondering where the rest of the games, it all depends on what conference they're playing in, because they're all non-league games after that. So it's going to be, you're going to be beholden to the broadcast partners and their television deals. So your Mountain West ones, you're probably going to be on either ESPN or CBS Sports. And if you are for the Big Ten games, it's going to be, you know, Fox, CBS, NBC for those ones. But right now, like the one in Lubbock, no, Big 12, ABC, mm-hmm. ESPN, family of networks, Oregon, you're looking at that, the Big 10 window there. You go to Appalachian State, no idea. I have no idea. But CBS Sports, maybe.
Probably.
Or ESPN. Those ones are tough.
That has ESPN2 written all over it.
Tulsa, ESPN, or CBS Sports, you're going to be on there. So, you're going to be able to watch your games. That's the best part.
Mm-hmm.
Just the road games, you have no idea where they're going to be.
And again, App State and Tulsa, those are two weird teams.
Yeah. I mean, the way that both of these programs have built their schedule, they have that windfall of money
mm-hmm.
from last year and this year, or this upcoming year, from the Pac-12 dissolving. You have given yourself an opportunity with the era of the transfer portal and everything else to win a lot of football games.
Mm-hmm.
And your schedule is not a bunch of behemoths, but at right now, stack up wins and keep your program in a good place, because the worst thing you could do is play a schedule where you're going up against a bunch of teams where you're out leveraged from a talent
smacked.
And financial standpoint. Yeah. You're getting smacked and everybody goes down. Then when the Pac-12 rebuilds up, then you start the work again to get back to that window of, hey, every, you know, 3-4 years, we make a run mm-hmm. for a league title and a prominent seat at the table. That's where you want to be. And especially with
still
Boise
viable.
Joining. Yeah, it is. It absolutely, look at Boise State's a prime example of it. Just this past year in the college football playoff. If you peel off or even have a good showing in those marquee games like Boise did in Eugene, then all of a sudden, your profile gets raised and just take care of your damn business from there on out. And you could find yourself in the playoff too.
It's a good place for them to be, considering where things were 2 years ago.
No doubt about it. All right. 503-864-6326. That is the Fan text line. We got some feedback coming in on Beavs, Cougs, and some of the NBA musings that we've had. We are waiting on Alex Molden may just pop in the studio, sit down with us. He's a former first-round pick and hell of a player in the National Football League mm-hmm. for the New Orleans Saints, and former Oregon Duck who has a son in the NFL now, and Elijah who just re-signed with the Chargers. And he's also the dad of one of the nation's most highly touted recruits.
Mm-hmm.
And he's only going to be a junior. So Alex Molden may stop in studio, hang out with us for a little bit in hour number two. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego sets play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego bricks.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Identity Refreshing!
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.